2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday. Hour number one, we're having a great time talking some BYU football fall camp. 4 weeks from today, the Cougars take on the Bulls in Tampa. BYU in South Florida, that one will kick at 4 o'clock Mountain Time, 2 o'clock pregame. We'll have our show, some extended pregame coverage. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's crazy to think the football season is already here. The dog days of summer have come to an end, at least in the football world, as football season's kicking off into high gear now. Fall camp, we were there at practice earlier in the week, Matt, and what do you kind of see as maybe some of the goals that this team has heading into, you know, the rest of camp as they continue to prepare for South Florida?
That's a good question. I think for sure the number one goal is stay healthy. That's always a top goal, but I just feel like there's so many answers already. Like, there's how many fall camps have you attended, Mitch, where there's a lot of answers that they're looking for when they go into it? It just seems like, are there 4, 5, 6 big position battles for starting positions that you're wondering who's going to get the first crack at that? That's not the case this year. There's very few questions. There's a lot of answers. And so I think just staying healthy and getting to that South Florida game with your full crew, that should be the top priority.
Here's Kalani Sitake on his priorities for his team during camp.
Keep competing, earn spots, trying to develop our young players, but at the same time, we need to get our team ready to roll. And then, just get our guys. Right now, we're not focused on the opponent. We're focused on trying to get our foundation set for our offense, get our identity set for our defense, offense, special teams, and then we'll head towards getting closer to the opponent once we get closer to the game.
See, I feel like the foundation is already set for the offense. I feel like, yeah, you want to have that fine-tuning and kind of master all that, but I feel like the foundation's already there for the offense. I think that's, you know, maybe a little bit of coach speak there from Kalani. The identity of the defense, I think that's valid, and I think that's where fall camp can be critical because now you have Keenan Peely back, you have Peyton Wilgar back. Getting that identity set and getting some confidence rolling into South Florida would be huge for this defense, which, by the way, I like the personnel that the defense has. I've never been down on the personnel, and quite frankly, I think they could see a level of play where they improve. It's just a matter of simply getting off the field. You know, can they get off on a 3rd-and-6? Can they get the opponent
stopped and to get BYU's offense the ball back. If they can do that, then this offense is going to thrive and win some games and put up a lot of points, and the defense won't be put in a situation where they have to limit their opposition to 15 or so points a game like they did in 2020. They could be in a spot where, yeah, you're giving up 21 a game or 22 a game, yet the offense is still able to put up 30, 35 a game with ease because of how explosive this offense is.
I thought if you listened really carefully, there was one line in there that was, and I think you have to do this with Kalani too, like read the tea leaves a little bit.
Yes.
Because he's not direct. Right. But sometimes he'll let a sentence slip that can let it that you can clue in on. When he said we're establishing establishing depth, or we're getting the young guys some experience?
We can play the clip.
Yeah, let's hear it again.
He's a lot more comfortable going into this year.
Coming up.
Keep competing, earn spots, trying to develop our young players.
That's it right there. Develop the young players. So when he says, isn't that interesting? That's not a fall camp thing to develop the young players.
No.
That's a spring football thing.
100%.
Spring football is when you develop the young players. Fall camp is getting ready for the season. So when he says we're developing the young players, to me that's, oh, okay, we know what we got at the starters. We're going to keep them sharp, and we're going to develop the young guys and build some depth. So even though there was a lot of coach speak in that clip, the fact that he said we're developing the young players to me means, okay, yeah, they're confident in what they have in the two deep, and they want to stay healthy and mix in these guys, and then in a couple of weeks from now they'll crank it up to game prep for South Florida.
Because I know on defense, you know, there's a lot of questions I think for Cougar fans going into the season are on that side of the ball. But again, from a personnel side, what Kalani's talking about, I think he pretty much knows who his top 22 guys are on defense. I just think that on the defensive line, you're probably looking at Tyler Batty, Earl Tuioti Mariner. You're probably looking at maybe an Fawatea Atunai Samahe if he's healthy. We didn't see him in practice on Thursday. He was off to the side in just T-shirt
Caden
and
Hawes,
shorts.
Maybe.
Yeah, Caden Hawes. I mean, that's probably your top four or five, and then they feel like they can go 10, 11 deep at that spot. And then at linebackers, you know who those guys are. Ben Bywater, Peely, Will Gar. And then at DB, you got D'Angelo Mandel, you got Caleb Hayes, and at safety, you got a question there next to Malik Moore. Is it Ammon Hanneman? Is it Jacob Bourne? Is it Micah Harper? We didn't see him in practice. He was off to the side. But they've got options.
Jacob Robinson?
It's not a question of they need just dudes to emerge. They know who the key guys are. It's just, do you line them up at one? Do you line them up at two? So then you get that luxury because you have the proven commodities at the top of the roster. It gives you that chance to develop the young players. And if the young players emerge and really take to that development quickly, it allows them to be in a spot, as Kalani has shown in the past, to where you're competing every day for a job. It then gives these young guys a chance to push these upperclassmen. And that's what you want. When you're a Power 5 program like BYU is, and they've always acted and operated that way, you want to have competitive depth every single day, and they're developing that more than ever, and you're really seeing it in situations like fall camp right now in the program.
One place there is no question mark, though, is the quarterback position. I think Jaren Hall looked sharp on day one, and Coach Satake had high praise for the face of the program, really, in Jaren Hall.
He's a lot more comfortable going into this year, and you know the focus for him is a little bit different than it was last year, and so I give A-Rod the opportunity to just teach him and put the standards that he has for him and the expectations he has for him to accomplish this summer. He did it, and then we'll see what happens with fall camp. From day one, Jaren did a great job, as did the other quarterbacks when they're on the field.
I loved hearing that Jaren Hall is further along than he was last year, because you know what, that hasn't always been the case with returning quarterbacks in the independent era, where it's just they're so far ahead, we're in a much better position. And that's not to say that the other guys weren't good and they didn't work on their game, but it's just apparent from what we saw and what we heard down in Provo that Jaren Hall is better now than he was at the end of last year. He's put in the work. Every pass that he threw, from what we saw, was good spiral. It was on target. He looked in command. Something that I love to see too, Mitch, I don't know if you caught this, but I love to see, especially when it's not full go. Now, with the quarterbacks, it's a little different because, you know, no one's going to blindside unload on them in practice. But I like to see in these really not football-like situations, can you not get to a point where you're scrambling around and running wild? And, like, that never happened with Jaren Hall. We saw that from, I think it was Jacob Conover at one point, was running around, didn't know where, you know, and took off with the ball. But Jaren Hall, just it was just boom, 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 check down here, throw to the middle here. It was just, he looked in total control. And when you're not wearing pads, that's what it needs to be. Like, yep. You have to be to that point, and he's there.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, that was one of the big takeaways I took from that media observation portion on Thursday, was just how comfortable Jaren Hall is in this offense. And, you know, I think we tend to forget that, you know, yes, it's only his second year as a starter, but he's been working with Aaron Roderick for 5 years now. Yeah. This is his fifth year. He knows what A-Rod expects from the QBs, and A-Rod knows him inside and out as well. And I think that's where I'm really excited to see how the playbook expands. We know Roderick's always willing to try some new things, and I think Jaren Hall's got a willingness to try new stuff as well. How much does this playbook expand in the passing game for Jaren Hall? And you know, it's going to be funny, too, to see, you know, the national narrative on Jaren Hall, because there will be times this season, because he's going to deliver some big wins, people around college football are going to have to put a little bit more respect on Jaren Hall's name. They'll say, oh, dual threat guy, and he is. He can be a guy that can run and pop off a big run, but don't expect BYU to turn to that well very often. It's not like Taysom Hill,
no,
where it's going to be design runs. They'll pick their spots, but you know, Jaren, if he's running, it's probably because he sees an opportunity and he's scrambling out of the pocket. I don't expect Aaron Roderick to turn to Jaren Hall on a design run very often, because you got to protect that guy at all costs, and two, you don't want him to get any hits, and you typically get hit when you're running the football.
I touched on this earlier, but I thought it was very interesting. I wasn't discouraged by this, but some people could be. There was an enormous amount of checkdowns in the media observation portion.
Yeah.
Because normally you're seeing long ball shots. I think there was like one. I think there was one true deep ball shot that we saw. I think it was Conover to Chase Roberts.
Yes.
It was slightly overthrown. I wouldn't say it was a bad pass.
It was just a nice throw.
It was just a misfire. Yeah. It was just outside of Chase Roberts' arms. But by my count, if I had to guess on what I saw, I don't know, 8 checkdowns. It just felt like there was a ton of checkdowns. Now, to me, I take great encouragement in that, because to your point, you got to keep Jaren Hall healthy. If he's recognizing my first two reads aren't there and I can hit the check down and get 4 yards, that's not going to be as much as maybe a Hall scramble, but that's going to keep Hall upright. And so the fact that I saw so many check downs was just an encouragement to me that, yes, he has learned more about the game. He's recognizing defenses better, because if it's not there, check it down to Brooks, check it down to McChesney, and get 4 or 5. Maybe they break a tackle, turns into 10. I think checkdowns are an underrated part of football, and if you do that correctly, that can go a long way in keeping a quarterback healthy.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I also think, too, that it, you know, gives some respect to the defense, you know, giving some issues to this talented wide receiver room, that it wasn't just a bombs away display,
right,
you know, where the cornerbacks are having all these struggles. You know, BYU's defense, you know, forced Jaren Hall in a lot of checkdowns. So, you know, a lot of credit goes to that defense for the success they had. We saw a guy like Michael Daly, a young linebacker. He got an interception off a tip pass or tip ball from Jacob Robinson, who got in the passing lane and tipped it up off of Cade Finnegan throw. And Daly came up with the INT. So the defense gave some resistance to the offense, and that's a good sign, too, in day one. You don't want it to be just completely in favor of one side of the ball. You want you want both sides to have their fair share of success. It's always tough to gauge in fall camp, because typically I think we lean towards the big plays on offense, but defense did show pretty well, I thought, on day one.
I agree. We'll take the break here on the other side. We'll talk a little bit more about the offense and our expectations. You can vote on our Twitter poll over at KSL Sports. You can text us as well at 57500. Any thoughts, questions about BYU fall camp, which is underway. Football is back. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll keep talking some football on the other side.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.